Tawa Biba, Reel 3.
On the next occasion, I met two boys from my town. And they are telling me that a brother of mine lives in Hamburg. And I didn't think it was possible, because when my older brother went to the Russian border, crossed over on the Russian side, occupied Poland, he was sent to Siberia. And before we were deported from our town, we heard that really we had no more hope that in Siberia my older brother will survive. So I just didn't know whether to believe those boys, but that also meant hitchhiking to Hamburg with them. But eventually I had to satisfy myself. I hitchhiked with them to Hamburg, came to the address where they took me. And when I got there, the landlady told me, yes, he's living here, but he's out. So I decided to wait on a bench in the street, and there sitting, waiting, and my brother arrived, and that's how I met my older brother.
And cut. Toby, oh, just stop a moment. Toby, tell us about some of the other groups who were brought to Belsen.
Gypsies and Russians, but actually there was all nationalities in Belsen.
And your reaction to the Russian women?
Well, we were keeping away from them because they were supposed to be very aggressive and fighting, so we were frightened of them.
You told us about being tattooed in Auschwitz. Can you tell us that again and mention your number?
We were very lucky to be chosen to be tattooed. Not everybody in Auschwitz was. And that gave us some hope of survival. My number is A17537.
Could you also, you described very vividly Gert, his influence in Plaszów. Could you just tell us who, mention Gert's name and tell us who he was?
Gert was the Lager Commandant in charge of the whole camp. And just even to hear the word Gert was absolutely frightening, terrifying. And to see him, he was a giant, very tall, big man, always with his two very frightening dogs. And just even the rumor that Gert is coming, it was absolutely terrifying.
Could you also give us a sentence? You talked about the Ordnungsdienst. Perhaps you could say it and also then translate what it meant.
In Plaszów, that was, they formed like a group of Jewish young men to be in charge where they couldn't, they were also called Kapo. And they were in where they didn't have enough to cover Gestapo men, they had these Kapo in charge of groups of people when they took out to work. And really, if there wasn't enough work done or they weren't satisfied, they held also these Kapo responsible.
But could you give us the word Ordnungsdienst?
Ordnungsdienst, to keep order. Men that kept order. They had the duty. Actually, it's Ordnung. It's a man that keeps order.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. What else did you want to pick up on?
They, as in the Germans and Belgians.
Ah, yes.
The Nazis.
When you arrive on the Bergen-Belsen, if you just...
About the German population who
were
watching.
Yes, German people going about their daily life. When war finished, they denied even knowing that there was a camp. They didn't even... It was something absolutely new to them. But to see 3,000 women marching, they didn't think we are animals.
Have we got that, or was there too much crossover? Yes. Oh, yes. And could you also give us a sentence in which you say that you and your sister contracted typhus in Belsen?
Well, towards the end, we were all very ill, covered with lies, no facilities to keep ourselves clean, and we all contracted typhus.
Can you work with that? Okay.
There was dysentery. It's indescribable. What can I say?
Any other pickups? And cut. Tell us a little bit about the bakeries in your town, which your father supplied.
Well, the bakers in Poland were very different. It was mostly bread that we used to buy, other things, cakes and things people mostly made at home. But the bakers, the smell and the produce, what they produced was very tempting. And actually, that's where the bagels originate from. They were very popular.
What kind of, what other kinds of breads did they produce?
Mostly dark bread. White bread was in Poland a luxury. Not everybody could afford it. It was mostly the full grain bread.
Now, you told us about your older brother, who was extremely orthodox. Could you tell us a little bit more about him and his following of the rabbi and his observance of the high holidays?
He was very orthodox. When he finished primary school, he studied the Talmud. And as I mentioned before, every Saturday in the afternoon, my late father would invite the teacher that taught both my brothers the Talmud and wanted to be was very interested to know what work they did during the week, but also to be so orthodox, there are many restrictions where food is concerned. They had to be strictly kosher, which means that certain things were not allowed to eat, and food has to be prepared specially with many restrictions. We're not allowed to eat meat and milk to mix. It has to be under very strict supervision prepared. And most at home, my late mother, with a big family, everything had to be strictly prepared according all regulations. So my late brother was very orthodox, and he, every holiday he was in heaven if he could spend with this famous Belzer rabbi. And there was in a little town in Poland that was called Belz, that was very famous.
Can you cast your mind back to the Krakow ghetto and give us a description of the ghetto, how you were cooped up in the ghetto?
Krakow ghetto was only about two or three streets surrounded with high fences. We were very guarded. To go in and out, you had to have permission, a special certificate. There were people that were lucky to go out to work to certain firms, and also because they could help themselves with some extra food to bring in, although it was illegal. Food was very scarce in the ghetto. People in the street were hardly seen because they were so miserable and there was nothing to go out for, and they were scared to go out in the streets. So nobody really was walking around the street. You only went from place to place. There was hardly any shops and nothing to buy. And also people didn't have the money. So it was miserable, but not as bad as in the camp in Plaszów.
Well, you've already talked about having so little food, but being deprived of food for so long, what must that be like?
Well, when I think back today, I don't know how can anybody survive the first 2 years when we were still at home with family and knowing the peasants in our town. It wasn't so bad because the peasants were always helping, bringing us food in exchange for other goods. But in the camps, that was impossible. And how we survived on this black water in the morning that was supposed to be coffee, or the grey soup lunchtime with the little square of black bread that was like lime, and when we ate it, we didn't feel any different. It didn't satisfy in any way. And we were forever hungry.
Is it something that completely dominated your life?
Well, of course, if you're tired, you're scared, you're hungry, lack of sleep, and always in fear. From 1 minute to the next, we didn't know what's going to happen to us. And we were always listening if there is another rumor or something is happening.
Keep on running, Jim. If you could ask Toby just to introduce a sentence with the name Oscar Schindler at the beginning of it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just wait, because Max is moving around.
Okay.
Hello. Max, get out the way.
I wanted to just move a little bit because it's...
Get out the way.
Okay, so I'd like you to give us a sentence about Oskar Schindler, which gives us his name in the sentence. Perhaps you could tell us who he was and about his factory.
Well, I heard of Oskar Schindler. He was very friendly with Goethe, and they conducted, in order to get out some people, he had to satisfy Goethe first. So to get to Oskar Schindler's camp, you had to have either influence or some money or jewelry or something, bribery. And it had to be very lucky to get to Oskar Schindler's camp. We only heard of him, but we didn't really know him or ever seen him before.
And cut.
Just leave that lost.
I consider myself very lucky that I survived. I still keep asking the question, why me? And not my sister. I feel very guilty about that. And also very privileged to be able to live in a free country. Because mostly people that are born in this country don't realize how wonderful it is to live in a free country, to be able to get about and be free to do according or as you wish, and have the opportunity for good education and live in such a wonderful country. And I'm forever grateful to the British Army for liberating me. I do it in memory of my late parents, my family, and because of senseless people to come out and deny that it ever happened, while there are still survivors and witnesses of what happened, is just unthinkable.
Have you kept your religious beliefs intact?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, in spite of all that happened, I still cannot turn from religion, or I believe in God and I believe in destiny.
You talk to school children now about your experiences. What kind of reaction do you get, and what effect has that had on you?
It does leave on children a great impact. Sometimes when I see those children in front of me with tears pouring down their eyes, I sometimes feel guilty for telling them. I feel sorry for them. But on the other hand, I think they must know of what happened. Because if they won't be told, they will never know. And we must not allow that what happened in the Second World War should be forgotten. How can a nation turn against other people so brutal, so ruthless, so... It's not human.
What are your own feelings about the Germans?
Well, I couldn't forget nor forgive. Never.
Do you feel optimistic about the future?
I have been to Germany the last time for the 50th anniversary of the liberation. And there the president of Germany spoke and said that not only the older generation, also the young German people today must carry the guilt of what happened. So now they, at last they admit of what happened.
Are there any other thoughts that you want to record on this interview before we finish?
That the people all over the world mustn't forget of what happened to innocent people, women and children in the Second World War. It must not be forgotten.
And cut.